A very good morning to one and all. Thank God for this special privilege that we can come to worship the Lord. I have been preaching on the topic on the heroes of faith from Hebrews chapter 11. And I remember the last time I preached here was about the faith of Noah. Today, I shall preach on the faith of Abraham, part one, because it's too long to combine all together. So part one, the faith of Abraham. Abraham is the greatest example of faith in the Bible. Others such as Enoch, Noah, live extraordinary lives of faith, but none have such great details recorded in the Bible about their family and their lives. Abraham, we know that the detail of Abraham's life is recorded in Genesis chapter 12 to chapter 25. 13 chapters about his family and life. It's very, very long. And so he must be something very important for us to learn. His faith was being praised by the people in the Old Testament. For example, the children of Israel during the exile prayed. And they praise God, then they praise God for Abraham, for his faithfulness. Let me read to you in Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 7 and 8, and see what they pray to God about Abraham. Here the people prayed, "Thou art the Lord, the God who did choose Abraham and brought him forth out of the earth of Chaldees and gave him the name Abraham, and found his heart faithful before thee." So this was what the people commended. Abraham was faithful to God. The New Testament also regard him as the great example of faith and the father of all the true believers, especially Galatians chapter 3, verse 6 and 7 tells us that. James adds that because of his faith, Abraham was called the friend of God. That is a great name, friend of God. Abraham is the great example of faith. Therefore, we have much to learn from his example, which is mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. Now, there are two ways in which one can live his or her life. And the most popular way to many people is to live one's life based on what one can see and also can experience. Many people are doing that. The other way, which does not come naturally to anyone, is to live by faith, basing one's life primarily and ultimately on what one cannot see or feel. And that is the way the Christian is called to live by faith, live on those things that we cannot see. So let us begin the life of Abraham concerning his faith especially. First of all, I will touch on the call of Abraham. Before his calling, the background of his life. Abraham was a citizen of the city of Earth of the Chaldees. Earth was located on the Euphrates River, which is in southern Iraq. All right, if you take the map today, it's in southern Iraq. It was a key city of commerce in that region and had a population of 300,000. It's a big city, 300,000. The city also a center of ancient culture and boasted an elaborate system of writing, sophisticated mathematical calculation, educational facilities, and extensive business and religious record. The people were proficient in various academic disciplines and skill in trades, in business. Spiritually and religiously, they were polytheistic. In other words, they worshipped many gods. They worshipped many gods. Therefore, Abraham was brought up in a pagan environment and also in a pagan family because his father, Terah, was an idol worshipper. So we see here, Abraham came from a very developed and advanced country of those days. Not in a third world, in the first world of that country. Very prosperous, very famous area. That was his background. Now concerning his calling, it was not Abraham's plan to leave Ur, then Haran, and eventually to Canaan. It was not his plan at all. God revealed his will to Abraham and called him out of earth of the Chaldees. We know it from the speech of Stephen before the Sanhedrin, recorded in Acts chapter 7, verse 2 and 3. We shall read this together, Acts chapter 7, verse 2 and 3, and see what it says here. Stephen said, "The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran, and said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee." Right? This was the first calling. I believe there are two callings. This is the first calling. Here it tells us that the God of glory appeared to Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia. God called Abraham not because of any good that is in him. Not because they had done a lot of good works, any merit in him. No, none of this. Joshua chapter 24, verse 2 and so verse 14 stated that Abraham and all his kindred were idolaters. The whole family worshipped idols. All right, these are from the scripture that tells us all these things. Although some people try to say no, all of them, but not Abraham. But the Bible says all of them, all involved. God chose Abraham because he willed to do so. In other words, it was his sovereign will. God desired to do so. He has the right to choose anyone he desires or he chooses to do so. How do we know? What are evidence can we prove that it is God's sovereign will to choose Abraham? If you turn to Nehemiah, chapter 9, verse 7, the first part. Here it says, "The Lord God who did choose Abraham brought him forth out of the earth of Chaldees." All right, God chose, right? That's what the Bible says. Furthermore, in Acts chapter 7, verse 2 and 3, we are told that the God of glory said to Abraham, but there is nothing said about his faith, only about his obedience. chapter 7, verse 4, Acts chapter 7, verse 4 says, and then he came out of the land of Chaldees. That's all. But if you look carefully in Joshua chapter 24, verse 3, here God says, I took your father Abraham and led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and I gave him Isaac. Alright, in this verse tell us that God did all the work. All the work. God took, God led, and God gave. Who gave Isaac to Abraham? It was God who gave him the son. You see? So God did all these things for Abraham. All was of grace. God did all these things in his guidance, in his and provision for Abraham. Now, how about in Genesis chapter 11, verse 31 says, and Terah took Abraham his son, and they went forth with them from earth and came unto Haran. Is there a contradiction? There say God took, and here it say Terah took Abraham. Now, we must know that, in other words, here we have a historical record of the instrumental act. God called, God chose, but God used someone to do the work. All right? And Terah was the instrument that God used to bring Abraham out of Egypt. You may ask why. Now, if you study the culture in those days, then you understand why. All the things reflected in the culture. Why? In those days, the father is the head. The father makes all the decisions. And therefore, Terah is the main figure. And God worked in him and not only called Abraham, but also used him as an instrument for the work. Now, for Terah to have taken Abraham, and Abraham must have told him of the vision of God's calling. He must share. He has to share because the father must take the decision. You see? So Abraham must have told the father about the vision that God had called. As I said, in those days, the people believed all kinds of gods. And Terah must have believed Abraham, believe his words, that what he said is true. God is calling him out, calling the family, calling him out. Now, how much he believed, we are not told. We are not told. He must have believed enough to make the important decision to leave earth of the Chaldees and to take the whole family to Haran. This is something we must understand right now. To leave one place to another place, to migrate from one country to another country, is a great decision. You all agree? And especially when you are a businessman, living in a well-developed country, and you have been very successful. Abraham was a very successful businessman. And as a successful businessman, what was in his mind all the time? You know what was that? Money. How can I make more money? Not honey, money. You see, that is the most important thing in any business. They will calculate any profit or not, right? And therefore, this is something very difficult for Abraham to make that kind of decision. He has already established business in a very well-developed country. And to go to a new place, he had to start it all over again. And furthermore, he did not know what kind of country was that God was leading him. So it takes great faith, all right? Great faith to take this step and to tell the father. Well, the father took the lead. And the whole family followed. That's why all the family follow, you see. And for whatever the reason that the father did not go further than Haran, we do not know. Is it because of old age? Some people think because of old age. Some people will think because of poor health, because the father is quite old already. Or some people may think of unbelief. Whatever the reason, we do not know. However, Genesis 11:31 says, they came to Haran and dwell there. To stop. Up to that point. Still on the, in the north. Now, this was the first calling that God called Abraham. When the time was ripe, then God called him again. And that is where the Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3 comes in. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Let's just read Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 together. And here it says, now the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And then as you read verses 2 and 3, God promised to bless Abraham, make him into a great nation, and bless all other people on earth through him. This was a promise that God will give later on. And so Abraham departed, in verse 4, so Abraham was departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And now we come to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. Tells us that by faith, when Abraham was called to go out into a place, obey. And he went not knowing whither he went. By faith, he went. The whole family packed up and then he went. Now the text adds that by faith, he obeyed and went out not knowing where he was going. Here we see that faith and obedience are inseparable in man's relationship with God. Abraham would never have obeyed God's call if he had not truly taken God's at his word. If he had not truly believed God's word, believed the person who told him he is a divine being, he would not take this step. No one would do so. As soon as Abraham understood God's command, he obeyed and began his life journey of faith. He fully trusted the God who had called him. So we see here, faith and obedience go hand in hand. If we say that we have faith, we must show our faith. We must practice. We must act. Right? This is what the Bible teaches. And the Bible says faith without work is dead. If we just say, just talk, just preach, and when the thing comes, we do not practice. That is not faith at all. So faith is it had to do with obedience. Faith and obedience go hand in hand. Now the question is this, for you and I, what kind of faith do we have? If you are in the shoe of Abraham, what will you do? You will scratch your head. What to do, right? Everything is rooted in here, in this country. Now God called me to go to another country. And the people ask, all right, go where? What country? How to answer? You have no answer. It's very difficult. But Abraham was convinced that God called him, and therefore he took the step. Now, how about us? Do you obey the word of God? I believe God wants us to do those things much, much easier than God told Abraham to do. Right? Are we obeying God? This is a thing that we must examine ourselves. Second point, his sojourning. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 9 says, by faith he sojourned in a strange country. Now, after arriving at Shechem in Canaan, Abraham received another unconditional promise from God. And this is from Genesis chapter 12, verse 7. All right, you turn to Genesis chapter 12, verse 7, and we will read these two verses together because it's something important here. Genesis chapter 12, verse 7. Ready, go. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there built he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence into a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Now this is something that God told Abraham. This is the land that I'll give it to you. Then Abraham knew, oh, this is the place that God promised to give it to him. So God followed him all the way from Ur of Chaldees to Haran and then to Canaan and said, this is the place for you. And Abraham knew that his journey, pilgrim journey, has ended. As far as land is concerned, you know, it's here. Now, we must know something concerning the initial faith of Abraham. As great as Abraham's initial acts of faith were, he had some lapses, some weakness in his faith, and he did not fully trust in God. What are those things? I mentioned two things, all right? First of all, he did not stay in Canaan during a famine in his early pilgrimage, right? There was a famine. It was very common in those days. Something happened, no water, what to do? Well, he sought help in Egypt. It's a very natural action. Everyone would do that because there are plenty of water. River Nile has a lot of water. So many people will go to that place to seek for survival. And this was something very, very natural for every human being to do. But Abraham, in this regard, had failed. His failure was to make decision about without seeking God. This was one thing that he failed. And he sought help in Egypt, therefore he placed himself and his wife, Sarah, in a dangerous situation because he had a very beautiful wife. And when he went there, he knew that the people there had a custom, that whoever they want, they would just take it or kill the husband or something like that. You see? So Abraham was afraid. He told Sarah, please, when we go there, you say that I'm your brother, you are my sister. All right? That is the thing they agree. But they are more than brothers and sisters, right? They are husband and wife. And as a result, they did that. He told a lie. He deceived the Pharaoh. And then God sent plagues on Pharaoh's family, causing trouble to other people. This was his failure, first failure. The second failure, what was the second failure? The second failure had to do concerning his heir, as promised by God. God has promised him to have a son, and he waited and waited and waited. There were no signs of coming. So use human method. In those days, now if you study the culture of those days, you know what they would do. If a family, the wife cannot produce, so you will think of another way. You ask the maid of another woman to do the work for her. That was a culture in those days. I think some of the Chinese would do that also. You see, that was ancient Eastern culture. And so, Sarah followed that culture. It was not a good culture. And as a result, Abraham committed adultery with Hagar and bring sorrow to who? To Hagar. And later on to Ishmael. And not only that, in the end, the future affliction and strife between Abraham's descendants and Ishmael, the Arab descendants, continue until this day. There's no end. That's why the problem in the Middle East never ends. Because of this problem. So this is the second failure that Abraham had. Now we come to the true faith of Abraham. It is not our purpose to go through the whole life of Abraham. This is not my study, not my preaching in this case. We are not studying the book of Genesis. All right? We are looking at the faith of Abraham on Hebrews chapter 11. All right? I give you something, the background, help you to understand. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 9. Okay, let's look at Hebrews chapter 11 verse 9. It says, by faith he sojourned in the land of the promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, that means in tents, with Isaac, Jacob, and the heirs with him of the same promise. Not only with him, but Isaac and Jacob also did the same thing. There are several things connected with the sojourning of Abraham in this verse. First of all, the land belongs to the stranger. He went there, it belongs to the stranger. God said, this is your land. All right, this is the first thing. Secondly, he dwelt in tents. He did not buy a house or houses. He had a lot of money, he could do that. But he did not. He lived in tents. Thirdly, Isaac and Jacob are linked with Abraham and are being joined as expectants. All right? They are all will be doing that. Now, first of all, I talk about the land of promise. When Abraham arrived at the promised land, the land was occupied by the Canaanites, especially the Amorites. He had no right to the land at all during his life. And not only that, he has to buy the land. Not only he had no right, the son also had no right. Jacob has no right to the land. He had to buy the land for the burial of his wife Sarah. That's the only piece of land he purchased, belongs to him. In obedience to God's command, he lived there the rest of his life, living in tents. He remained as an alien without any citizenship right and perpetual outsider. His children, Isaac and Jacob, also follow his footsteps. Now, there's one thing I want to ask whether you all know or not. Why did God give the land of Canaan to Abraham? How can God do that? It belongs to the Canaanites, belongs to the Amorites. How can God just give it to Abraham? Why? Have you all thought of that? And the answer is this. Genesis chapter 15, verse 13 to 16 says, because of the iniquity of the Amorites. Amorites are Canaanites, all right? Because of their sin, God punished them. God punished the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah by what? By destroying them. And here he's giving their property away. Then he asks, what kind of sin? So serious, they have to take away their sin, their land away. If you study Leviticus chapter 18, the whole chapter, or chapter 1 to verse 1 to 24, it tells us their sin was mainly sexual perversion. Mainly sexual perversion. For example, incest. Incest. Secondly, adultery is quite common. Thirdly, God do not like it is the children sacrifice. They children offer human sacrifice to their god Molech. And some more, you know what they practice in sex? Sex with animals. Perversive kind of sex. My friend, because of all these things, God punished them, but however, give them time to repent. God did not immediately do so. You know how long did God give them the time? More than 430 years. Although he gave the land to Abraham, after 430 years, then Abraham was able to, children Israel was able to take the land. When was that? After they left Egypt, right? After they left Egypt, wilderness, and then entered into the promised land. So during the time of Joshua, they were able to possess the land. So God is a very gracious. He's very long-suffering, very patient. Through various ways, I mean, he hoped that the Canaanites will repent of their sin, but they did not. And therefore, God had to act. And God wanted to destroy all of them. Abraham, you remember when Abraham was in the land, he told Isaac not to marry the local woman because of these things. They are very loose, you see. And many of them were like that. So God warned them, one generation after another generation. You study Leviticus chapter 18, you see all kinds of their sins. Sexual sins are mentioned there. All right, I don't want to prolong this too long. That was a reason why God took their land away. By now, I think you understand why. What was the life of Abraham when he stayed in a strange country? What was their life? These people were totally different in their moral standard and the way of life from Abraham. What kind of life did Abraham live? Abraham lived a life of dishonesty. His religion was different from the Canaanites. He was monotheistic. He worshipped only one true and living God. Whereas the neighbor worshipped all kinds of God. They were polytheistic, worshipped all kinds of God. Furthermore, they practiced human sacrifice. His standard of morality were rooted in the character of God, whereas the neighbor came from the gods they themselves had created. It's from what they had created. Therefore, Abraham could not fit into the lifestyle of his neighbor. He could not fit. He felt very uneasy, could not fit, and could not live with them. He lived a life of separation. He lived as a stranger, as a pilgrim. He lived in tents. He was always living in conscious dissonance. He never felt at home with the Canaanites. He was very careful with all his children, all this, very careful not to marry the Canaanites. This was the life of Abraham when he was in Canaan. Now we can see something that can apply into our Christian life. We can see the parallel between Abraham's life and the life of the Christians. The Christian have been called, have been promised, the Christian have been called from darkness into light. The Christian have been called to follow the Lord every step he takes to until they reach the promised land. The Christian have been promised a home in heaven, a home whose foundation is of God. That is the life of a Christian. By faith, we are strangers. We are pilgrims on earth, living in constant dissonance with the world as we travel to the glory land. And that was what Abraham did. Although he was staying in Canaan, what was his mind? Where was his home? His home was in the glory land. And this is what Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10 says, for he looked for a city which had foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham was looking for the heavenly city. That city was totally designed and built by God. And it is the city the Christians are waiting to be there. Are you waiting to be there? And there's a city that Abraham is waiting to be there. We will not only see God, but we will dwell with all the residents in harmony. No more pilgrim life, no more disease, no more death, alienation, and separation. In that city, we are looking and waiting to be there. It is the city that we are looking and waiting to be there. The question is, will you be there? Will you be there? Are you sure you can go there? This is the question. If you are sure of going there, how do you live your life on earth? How do you show it? Abraham lived a separate life. Although he traveled, he lived in this world, but his heart is in heaven. He lived in this world as a pilgrim. Do you live as a pilgrim on earth? Or you bring your establish everything on earth and live very little in heaven? See, these are things that we must check ourselves. And I pray that the Lord will help us. As we study the life of Abraham, we may have the same perspective of Abraham living for the future. And God will bless you. We are here on earth, we are just pressing on to a higher ground. Right? And so, in closing, we shall sing this hymn. I want you to take note of the last two stanzas, which brings out the whole message here. 4:7:1. O Lord Jesus, this is our heart desire. We want to press on. We want to live on a higher ground. But Lord, we pray that you will give us the strength, the spirit, the faith of keep trusting in thee and falling close to thee. We pray that you will continue to lead us until we reach the land of glory. And now may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit dwell in us richly, leading and direct us to the land of glory. Amen.